This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. The Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Guy Patterson III.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, Tennessee received another commitment today. Three-star Brian Grant out of Fort Walton Beach, Florida. He's 6'8", listed 270, projected to play offensive tackle.
Big Brian Grant. Come on down. Glenn Ellerbe finding his guys in the trenches. All right, we'll see. And you take a guy this early, obviously you like him. It's not like you're quote-unquote reaching on a prospect at the last minute to fill a need. So they see something they like there, and we will see how good evaluators of talent these guys really are.
All right, number two, former Lady Vol Tamika Catchings will become the first Lady Vol player to be inducted into the Naismith College Basketball Hall of Fame. Or not college basketball, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yep. First player.
Shamika's not in there?
Nope.
Bridget Gordon?
Nope, it says that she's the first Lady Vol.
So she had a an award speech, I guess I should say, when she did get inducted. Not award, but when she got inducted into the Hall of Fame, that was really, really moving.
Oh, she's
very
inspiring.
Very touching.
Yeah.
The big kind of thesis of it was how basketball chose her. And it's just a really cool watch if anybody has a couple minutes.
She's deaf.
I highly recommend.
Hard of hearing, or maybe fully deaf, and had severe speech impediments and has persevered. She's an inspiring
great
gal
story.
For sure. Yeah.
We talking about Helen Keller again?
What are you doing? Why would you do that?
I just asked.
You think that? I mean, do you think it's funny?
No.
You think it's funny? Our disabled local hero who's persevered.
I didn't realize that's who
trials,
we were talking about.
Then why did you make a Helen Keller joke?
Because you said something about somebody being deaf and mute.
That's just.
That's
I didn't
who
say
I think
about
of.
Being mute. You just hear deaf and you think Helen Keller.
Yeah, I was texting Chris. I just heard it. Probably should have kept my mouth shut.
Probably. You should. Just shut up.
Because what
How
I was
that?
Thinking, I was
just,
like, why are they talking about Helen Keller
oh,
again?
Oh, God.
She said this in the Hall of Fame speech. Basketball chose me, an awkward, lanky, introverted tomboy born with a hearing disability, a speech impediment, and a will to overcome obstacles, dream big, and to change the world.
Oh, God.
So I'd say that's a pretty good person to put in and induct with Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett.
I think she
stands at the top.
I'd like to personally apologize to Tamika Catchings.
It's too late.
Sincerely, no, it's not. I didn't realize that's what you guys were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah, it was a lot to overcome.
Man, 4 Olympic gold medals, national championship, and a WNBA title.
She's got 2 titles, doesn't she? And she's got 1 MVP.
It's got to be cool going in with the Mamba in that class,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it is.
All right, number 3. The NBA regular season is finally over. We have the playoff bracket set up, including the play-in games. On the east side, the Boston Celtics will take on the Wizards in the 7-8 matchup.
You throw the records out the window when the Celtics and Wizards get together, let me tell you. Wish Admiral was still there. We could have an Admiral Grant matchup.
Well, if either of them would get to see the floor. You know.
Grant's playing a little, isn't he?
Very little.
Very little at this point.
His minutes cut back a little.
Sucks.
The 9-10 matchup will be the Pacers and the Hornets, and then whoever loses the 7-8 game will play the winner of the 9-10 game for the last spot. On the west side, you have the Lakers versus Golden State in the 7-8 game, and then Memphis versus San Antonio.
I hope Golden State destroys Lakers. Just get this season over with.
Wow.
You think I could lose
LeBron
this year?
Then they'll have to lose again, though. They'll have to lose again after that.
If they lose, you have to lose twice.
That's fine. I'm just ready for it to end.
I kind of like it. I like the playing games.
I like them, too. I think it's a
– Is it a 2 out of 3 deal? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I think it's
– It is.
So then why would they have to lose again?
So 7 and 8 will play each other. The winner of that automatically goes to the 8 seed.
7 seed.
7 seed. And then the 9 and 10 have to play each other. The loser of 7 and 8
plays the winner of 9 and 10.
The winner –
And gets the 8 seed.
Yeah, the winner of that game gets the
That's weird.
Seed.
Unless the 9 or 10 wins, right?
No.
Then I believe they play again.
Oh, right, yeah. So
Yeah. Why are they making this so complicated? So, I'm done talking about
weird.
It.
The 9-10 seed that makes it to the second round, I don't care. Has to win 2 out of 3.
Okay.
The 8 or 7 seed only has to win 1.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
the
they need to go
to
back.
Extra.
They need to shorten up some of those series, though, and once they get into it.
It just takes entirely too long.
I like the NBA playoffs, though, man. I'll get into it. We'll talk about it a little bit here on the show this summer.
I mean, that's the only time I'll watch it.
All right, number 4, Mac McClung, who put his name into the transfer portal a while back and then took his name out saying he was staying at Texas Tech but was going to test the NBA draft, has announced today that he is foregoing his last season of eligibility in college and will stay in the NBA draft. So,
do you think that maybe the Mac McClung market was not what he had hoped for when he announced that he was entering the transfer portal, and then the new coach there was basically like, you need to stay in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see why else he would have chosen this path. Why even test the waters?
He needs to polish up on his Spanish, his German, his Turkish, something, because he'll be going to Europe.
Yeah, it's just I thought it was odd that you go to Georgetown, and then you go to Texas Tech, and then you're going to transfer again, and that seemed like a lot of schools. And I don't know. Maybe there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for it. Maybe he's a great young man, but it seems like a lot of instability there with Mac McClung.
All right, and number 5. A volunteer at a thrift store in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, was working when she spotted a painting that looked odd to her. She thought it looked different than the rest of the other paintings they had for sale.
A volunteer where?
She just volunteered at the thrift store.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and so she decided to buy this painting because it looked different than the other ones, mm-hmm. Took it to an appraiser. Turns out that this painting was an authentic Salvador Dali.
What?
Original woodblocked print painting, 1 of 100. Well, not the first out of 100, yeah. But it's 1 out of 100 that were.
Wow.
How much is it worth?
She bought it for $10 and was able to sell it for just over $1,200.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a nice little
$1,200?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have sold it.
An original Dali, I would think would catch a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's just, it says that she put it up for auction and that's what it went for.
That's stupid. I wouldn't have.
I don't think I'd have sold it either.
Oh, no, I mean, it's a Salvador Dali.
Not for $1,200.
No.
But sometimes you need the, might be in a pinch.
Maybe it wasn't that great.
Put that sucker up on the wall.
Well, I mean,
it'd be cool.
If you don't really like it and you need $1,200, I mean, $1,200 is nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, I mean.
That's some good jack right
there.
It's
like a month and a half of rent nowadays.
It's a good return on her investment, $10.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, now that.
Thank you, GP3. That is the Top 5 at 5, brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your smile consultation online today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. If you have not been to the dentist in a while, if you're having any sort of dental issue, if you just need a routine dental cleaning, these are the folks to go to. They do a great job here locally, have done for 25 years now over at Knoxville Smiles. You can call at 865-539-1776, or again, that website, KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Let's go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk, where Danny Nonux has claimed his first scalp this afternoon as Tennessee's athletics director. Hey, not exactly firing somebody here, but Tennessee Athletics announcing today that it will not renew the contract of women's golf coach Judy Pavon. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Pavon's current contract, set to expire June 30th, will bring an end to her 21-year career as coach of the Lady Vols. Wow, she's been there a long time. Second longest tenured head coach at Tennessee, trailing Lisa Glenn, who's guided the rowing team since 1998. Danny White, in a statement, says, on behalf of Tennessee Athletics, I want to thank Coach Pavon for her more than 2 decades of service to the golf program and the university. And, wow. So, Danny Nonugs. Got a big hire to make here. Women's golf. Who you going to get? Who you going to get?
But this wasn't a go-and-get situation.
Well, I mean, he didn't renew her contract. You know?
Yeah, but it wasn't go-and-get. Get on out of here.
It's a little bit less. It's not a, you're fired. But
it's more,
to
me, it's more
direction.
Similar to Dave Serrano.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that was, it would have been a fire. I don't know. You call it whatever you want to call it.
A civil divorce. That's how I kind of think of those. Like that. Like, you both sides know it's just not working out. Let's just cut our losses. We'll be better friends. Mm. Just go ahead and split. We agree on almost everything.
Well, good luck to Coach Pavon. Hopefully Danny Nonugs makes a good hire there. All right, 865-546-8200.
What do you want to get back into? This whole UFO thing?
Yeah, I want to hear GP3 says he has multiple
sightings. Were you
sightings.
Probed?
Stop. Let the man tell his story. Okay, making fun of him already before we've even heard the story.
Fun of
You're
him.
Making fun
I'm
of
not.
Him.
I'm just
Did
asking.
Did you get probed? Like, stick something up your butt, GP3.
I don't think I said it that way, Russ.
Okay, go ahead, GP3. No. We're all very respectful here.
Okay,
what happened?
The first time I was in college.
Where did they touch you?
I was. We were working on the homecoming float.
Uh-huh.
And this was probably like 1 a.m. because we were pulling overtime, working on the float, making sure we got it done
Talk
for
about
Saturday.
My story sounded like
me,
a plot to
me
a
and
movie.
One of the other guys, we stepped out to have a cigarette, and we both looked up at the same time, saw just this huge like thing in the sky. I don't know what it was. It was fairly close to us, and then it was gone.
At 1 o'clock in the morning?
1 o'clock in the
at
morning.
At your fraternity
I hadn't
house?
Been, I hadn't been. No, this was at a shed on a farm.
Oh, a shed.
No.
And I hadn't
Can you
been,
describe the
I
thing?
Hadn't been drinking. No, I mean, I don't know. It was bright. There was a it was a bright light, and then it was gone. And that was the first one.
Were you making the blue?
And the only reason I
was it circle, square, triangle. Like, what are we talking about?
It was circular.
How Flash. Big? How big was it?
I mean, I don't.
How close was it to you?
I mean, if you look up in the
10,000 feet in the sky, 1,000.
So you
feet?
Guys
no
are
higher
working,
than an airplane.
Now hold on.
No
here.
Higher than what an airplane would be.
Okay. I need to get something out of the way first. So when you say you all were building something for homecoming, what types of chemicals were you all using? Anything with like toluene or xylene or?
I mean, I don't know.
Paint or mineral spirits.
You felt sober. You
yeah,
were not
I was sober.
Inebriated.
I wasn't drinking that night because I mean it was the
you
last
you
night
didn't
before
inhale.
We
paint
had to
fumes
get
is what
done.
I'm asking.
Now
we did have hairspray in there, but I mean
when you say it disappeared, like did
it shot it, like
it
zoomed
shot away,
away
yeah. and it, like trailed off.
Yeah,
very
over
quick.
The over the trees.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the second time was in the morning. I was on my way into work in Nashville.
The next day?
No, this was
4 years
later,
okay.
maybe. I was on my way into work at Nashville. I was at a stoplight. And, I mean, there had to have been other people that saw it too. But I was just sitting at a red light, looked up, and it was almost the exact same thing. Just this one was a lot closer,
you
though.
Sure?
I mean, this one, it couldn't have been more than 1,000 feet up in the air. And it was just right there over top the where the airport was. It was over there, and then again, it just shot away.
Now, when you say it shot away, it's going faster than an airplane? Was it moving at...
It was standstill,
uh-huh.
and then gone. Like, it wasn't
just
moving.
Winked out? I mean, are we talking about an interdimensional vehicle here? Are we talking
but then,
about...
again, I asked anybody else when I got to work, because I was really close to where I worked at the time when I was at the light, and somebody else said that they saw it, too.
You'd have to get them to call in.
And I didn't, like, say, did anybody see the UFO? I just said, did somebody see something weird outside? And they said, yeah, I saw this thing up in the sky, and then it was just gone.
I am highly suspicious right
well,
now.
Well, it sounds very similar to the stories that were described in the 60 Minutes report.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't need to be convinced because I've seen it myself. I know there's stuff out there.
You know that. No, hold on. I'm not denying that you saw something, okay? I don't think you're lying. I think you're telling the truth. But... to jump from I saw something that's unexplainable, I saw it twice, to it was aliens, man. That's quite a leap. You
no,
would
I'm saying I know there's stuff out there because how
no,
could there not be?
It could
See,
be,
you're editorializing again.
It
Russell's
could be
warned you
any
about that.
Number of things. It could be sunspots, solar flares. It could be trick. You know, your mind's playing on you. It could be a lot of things, GP3. It could be...
Aside from what I saw, I still would believe 100% that there's stuff out there. Just because how could there not be? The universe is
I could just about convince you in Woodstock in 99 that Jesus tried to come pick me up in his heaven airplane, but I know that didn't really happen, man.
You were on my side 30 minutes ago.
Probably now- so, but your story sounds suspiciously close to some of mine, and I know what caused mine.
I'm not even talking
That's
about
why I
the
keep
story
questioning
anymore,
you.
Though.
Is there any-
I'm just saying that the universe is so big that there has to be something out there. It's impossible for there to be...
Where
a
are
million, bajillion.
I think we've all had those thoughts before, too. We've all had those thoughts before, too. All right, thank you.
But then what I saw just backed up my own theory.
He had the sighting.
I don't know why you guys aren't scared of these stories. I mean, I'm not the biggest believer
scared?
In it myself, but...
What are you going to
no,
do?
I wasn't scared.
What's the point in being scared? Until
I mean, you
start...
should maybe be at least a little frightened if you feel like genuine... What? UFOs and aliens are coming to our planet because they're going to wipe us out in a split second.
Yeah.
If they have the ability to travel
so
to
here,
Earth,
here, here's
we're
the
done.
Here's
we're
the
done
theory.
In a heartbeat.
I heard one of the things I listened to on my long road trip over the weekend was, keep citing Rogan, was Joe Rogan's podcast with George St. Pierre from a couple of weeks ago. It was really good.
GSP?
And they talked fighting for a long time, but then like the last half an hour, they just got out there and started talking about aliens and UFOs and all that stuff. And so Elon Musk is one of the guys sounding the alarm bells for AI, artificial intelligence, right? And he's saying that this is the death of humanity. It's going to be terrible. The machines are going to overtake us.
Elon's saying that.
Wow. Well, and he's basically saying that machines and man are going to merge.
Right.
Which has already happened. And he's one of the ones that's developing this technology. They call it, I think, Thermalink or something, where it's basically brain chips. Yeah.
They tested it with pigs or something recently, within the last couple months. And it's worked.
Okay, we're going to have pig overlords now?
And so they're talking about this is going to happen, that humanity and AI are going to merge, like, soon, within the next 100 years, maybe within the next 50 years, maybe within the next 20, very
soon. It's
that
concept that, you know, you and I watched the same video of a guy was talking. He said, look, we went 2.5 million years without technology, and now it is our life. It is our year.
It's growing exponentially.
Yeah.
And so... But what? Here's the theory.
Okay.
This will blow your mind.
I am so locked in.
This will blow your mind.
Okay.
All right. So you know the little alien men that everybody says they saw. I remember Fire in the Sky and the guy who says that he got abducted and everything. The short gray creatures with the big eyes, right?
Yeah.
There's a theory that those aliens are actually us
from the future, right?
That what we have we have evolved to AI, and that's what we are thousands, millions, billions of years in the future. I don't know. And obviously, the sun is going to blow up into a red giant one day. Maybe we render the Earth uninhabitable because of our
stupidity.
Whatever we're doing to it or whatever. Yeah. Whatever happens, happens, right? And so eventually, we're going to have to get off this rock and go to space. And so the theory is those aliens are actually us from the future. And we're coming back to Earth now to tell us, hey, you guys,
fix the planet.
You got to get going here because you're running out of time.
Get going as in space travel or going as in fixing the stuff here?
Because space travel.
Okay, I see. Because otherwise the theory of time travel wouldn't
work. We have
to find
a new home planet.
You can't
But there's none that's reachable within 10 lifetimes.
Because AI, well, you don't have to find a new planet. If you got magic spaceships that can fly around. I mean, you've seen these things, right? You can live in space. Go where no man has gone before.
I feel like that would be kind of uncomfortable.
I think that there's more, to me, based on absolutely nothing but reckless speculation, I like the idea better that UFOs and things like that are time-traveling humans. I think that's more likely than aliens from a different galaxy. Mm-hmm. I think it's much more. I don't believe in aliens, first off, but I do believe that technology and people are going to get so smart to where that, who knows? It's more of a possibility to me than little green Martians that we're all basing on, you know, the actual green Martian from the cartoons.
And why is technology advancing
so
at
quickly.
Such a rapid pace?
Yeah.
We're seeing these things. We're learning these things.
It ain't going to stop either.
It's pretty impressive.
It is.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm all in on the time travel. I'm not in on the aliens. That's based on nothing.
I feel like the time travel is slightly more plausible than aliens.
Mm-hmm.
What about
essentially the same thing under this theory?
Where do you stand on alternate universes?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it to speak knowledgeably.
It's never stopped you before.
Sure it has.
Very rarely.
What have I spoken about on this radio program that I'm not an expert in?
I have to go back and look at the tape.
Name one.
I have to go back and look
Name
at the
one.
Tape.
You can't do it. Oh, get on here and disparage me.
Tennis.
Tennis?
Yeah.
I'm a tennis expert. No more than you.
Maybe.
Definitely.
I claim to be a tennis expert.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Jeff, DR of all, hang right there. We're coming to you guys. Open lines the rest of the way. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey.
Fan Run Radio. The drive continues, 865-546-8200. You know, but to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. Jeff is next. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Russ, you're a pretty smart guy most of the time, but that theory that you just did about the whole coming back.
Mm-hmm. Time travel.
Really, clearly it shows you have no clue about time travel.
Oh, I don't.
And how it works.
Okay.
That's a good point, Jeff.
Please enlighten me.
We only know from the movies and the TV shows, though.
Well, if you would have ever really studied physics and the books that would tell you about these things.
Physics and the books.
Then
the books have always been a good source of information I found. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Plural.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would know that if they came back from the future into the present time, which we exist,
mm-hmm.
it would totally modify
yeah.
their whole existence.
The butterfly effect.
And therefore, so, have you not ever had a circular reference in
isn't
an Excel
that,
spreadsheet?
Isn't that the Back to the Future reference when they're looking at the newspaper, though?
So, wait, hold on. You're saying that they wouldn't come back because they know it would jeopardize their existence.
Exactly, unless it was a kamikaze mission.
Well, maybe they're seeing something that we're doing that is mixed up. Maybe somebody else. Maybe they had a renegade time traveler. You don't know, man. There's a lot of things that could happen.
A rogue time traveler.
Time travel terrorism. Yes.
Wow.
Temper wars.
And they have to go back and fix it. And I feel like I'm describing the plot of a really good movie
yeah.
right now.
Seriously.
You did. It's called Tenet.
Really?
The movie with John David Washington. Yeah.
That's what that movie's about?
That's basically.
The one that just came out?
What you just described is the basic plot of that movie.
I thought I had a screenplay there for a second.
No, it's going to win awards. But it bends your brain. Jeff, don't do this often. I kind of feel like you owe Russell an apology because I feel like he's acquitted himself quite well to be knowledgeable about paradoxes, temporal Cold War, and everything. I feel like he came at my guy a little bit hard.
No, I mean, like I started out, you know, acknowledging the man's wisdom in the past, but, I mean,
thank you.
You don't know about time travel and how it works. I don't know that you really ought to be talking about it.
I feel like Russ does, though.
It's okay. I wasn't even speculating, man. I was just relating a theory that I heard that kind of blew my mind, trying to blow some minds out there, trying to share the love, share the knowledge this afternoon. Not saying I believe in it. I'm just saying it's a theory.
Well, why did y'all even start talking about the alien thing from the other guy there? How'd
because there was 60 Minutes last night. They've declassified a bunch of information on this, and there are some ex-military pilots who describe in vivid detail an encounter with these unidentified flying objects, which are very similar to what GP3 was describing that he's seen.
Well, in that same documentary, they also released information about they apparently got some alien broadcast or whatever, and some whiz decoded it.
Now,
and it was,
now, you,
it
now
was
you're describing the movie
countdown.
Contact.
Yeah.
No, it was no
Prime Numbers.
That's different. It was a countdown to like when they were going to attack us, and then this crop duster guy, who was an ex-pilot.
Now you're just describing Independence Day. What are you doing, Jeff?
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. Oh man, where's President Pullman when you need him? We got the 4th of July coming. We'll have to have the ceremonial playing of President Pullman's speech.
It was incredible. It still gives me chills.
One of the best.
D.R. Vall is next. Good afternoon, D.R. Vall.
Now, guys, I miss hour two, but, you know, I'm all for this kind of talk. I believe we talked about it last year in the quarantine. Now, we got to get GP3 watching the Bob Lazar documentary on Netflix. And it's always ex-military people that says that UFOs are out there. Joe Rogan's had plenty of people on there. And, Russ, it's called Neuralink. is what
Neuralink. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, and Elon Musk also said we're already part cyborg because of our how much we rely on our cell phones.
Yeah.
I agree with him. I mean, I listen to y'all on my cell phone. I'm talking to you on my cell phone.
So it's just about integrating the technology in our minds so that we don't have to have a separate device to do it.
Think about this route tree that could happen, right?
It's called augmentation.
We are seeing content on our phone. At some point, it will move to glasses that we can wear, where everything is just projected in front of us, like a heads-up display on Call of Duty or something. And then you think the next thing after that, what, technological contact lenses? Maybe eventually just go straight into the eyes, where you have this whole heads-up display in front of you. You can see the route that some of these things might trend towards. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of scary because the small town I live in, they can't even figure out a four-way stop, so how are we going to do that?
DR Vol, here's what I want to know. Here's the mystery that's been bugging me for the past day or two. You have already. I hope I don't offend, but you have gotten out of marriage before. You had a free pass. You had a do-over, and you are voluntarily entering into the agreement again. What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, I know, and I spent about $20,000 to get out of my first one, but at least with this one, not to go too much into my personal life, at least this one doesn't have drug addiction problems.
All right, well, congratulations.
Whoa,
my friend.
Hey, congratulations,
DR Vol.
I missed
the question.
Way to go.
Yeah, it was very nerve wracking. I will say that my buddy brought me a beer, and I told him, I said, I think I drank that beer quicker than a shot of tequila. And I will say, Trey, are you there? GP3, I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. You know, everybody on here, and I love Bear, Russ, and Rick. And I'm glad to hear Rick back on here, but they're laughing about you about the aliens. But, man, they laughed at Noah before the flood came, too. So I'm with you, buddy. You have a good day.
Thanks, man.
Did we just have a GP3 comparison to biblical figures now?
I don't know. I think
Guy was compared to Noah.
He's not warning anybody of anything. He's just sharing, right? Now, if GP3 says, guys, if he comes in tomorrow and says, look, I've been thinking about this, and just doesn't make a lot of sense to be doing this silly sports radio stuff while the fate of all humanity hangs in the balance. So I'm, as of now, resigning, and I have a couple of sandwich board cutouts here. I'm going to go stand on the corner of Kingston Pike and North Shore out here and preach the gospel of we have to take better care of the environment, the aliens are coming, there's a message out there. If he becomes that guy, then, first of all, we will still clown him and make fun of him. But second of all, then the whole DR Vol theory about maybe GP3 is prescient and warning us and is a good comparison to Noah would actually hold a little more weight.
It's a little weird. Wouldn't have made that connection myself.
So, is the NBA regular season over?
Dunzo.
Yep.
And the playoffs start tomorrow? Playing games start tomorrow?
Playing, yeah.
So when do they Tuesday, crown their Wednesday champion? Night. It's going to be like 6 more weeks?
Yeah, something probably. Like
yeah, late June.
I guess around then.
Be about the same time the NHL does.
Well, the good news is everyone can bet this round risk-free on FanDuel. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, FanDuel is teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny freaking Smith to make sure you'll get your money back if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game. And so you can go over to FanDuel and make a parlay if you want, make a couple of bets if you want. It's all for you over there. They do a great job, of course, with all the different options, point totals, rebound totals, all that good stuff. And the NBA play-in tournament is going down, starts tomorrow through the 21st. FanDuel just made it even more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's Play-In Palooza. So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app and opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. It's exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New user risk-free bet for first real money wager only, and refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you've got a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Woo!
So we've been all over the map here on this Monday edition of The Drive. If you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200 on a day when Tony Vitello and the Baseballs are licking their wounds.
Another chance, though, to get back on track tomorrow as they host their final non-conference game of the season and the final game of the regular season at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Yep. Got to take care of business tomorrow against Belmont. Huge weekend series with South Carolina on the road in Columbia. And we talked earlier about Arkansas. They've been there before. It's not their first rodeo. It's our first rodeo. As nice as it would have been to have won the series, I'm not going to get down on it because we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We are very, very close, but we're not there yet. Well, we're playing another team in South Carolina that now they've been through, the Holbrook thing didn't work out for them. They've got a new coach there. They are not – I don't think they're College World Series. I don't think this is an Omaha-bound South Carolina team. But they have been to Omaha before, recently. They have won it all before, recently. And so there is an expectation when you play in that program to win all the time. And this is going to be just another tough one, man. The SEC is absolutely brutal. And we went through that little spot in the schedule where we're playing – Kentucky and Missouri and Texas A&M, and the competition level went down a little bit. Well, it is ratcheted up in a big way, and it's not going down again because after this weekend you've got the SEC tournament, and then it's the NCAA tournament. And while tomorrow might be the season finale at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, it probably will not be the last time we play. And here's what I'm getting a hard time wrapping my head around, and you listed the show. I'm not the guy trailing it. Oh, the CDC and the masks and all that stuff. But we'll say this. We had the full stadium this past weekend.
Right.
And the NCAA has recommended 50% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a chance that if we do host a regional or super regional that we would have to back down to 50% capacity?
From my understanding, yes. You can't go over.
Why is the NCAA doing that? That's stupid.
To it level is. The playing field, I think, for states that can't have more than 50%. I think that's the only reason behind
that's,
it.
That's asinine.
But I don't see why that's...
That's the same thinking that gets losing teams in Little League trophies.
That's what people do nowadays.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think it's worse than that because you have, what, four teams in a pod per regional? So I don't see how it's... I mean, maybe I guess you could say if you're in a pod where it is 50% capacity, you've got a little bit easier road if you're one of the road teams than if you come into Lindsey Nelson and you're East Carolina and you're playing here. They say, well, that's tougher than if you're playing in a pod at, I don't know, North Carolina and it's 50% there.
So I don't know how this is entirely going to factor into any kind of the seating or capacity or anything along those lines, but we did get a little bit of inside information over the weekend from an usher, and we learned that Tennessee actually has pop-up bleachers that they have and they're prepared to use at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Why weren't they using those this past weekend?
I don't know. I had the same exact thought, but these bleachers can supposedly hold 1,000, right, which cut back is only 500 at 50% capacity, but hey, maybe that's even at least a extra 500 that you can throw on those bleachers.
Sure.
Say we're going to spread them out. Maybe even have the third base line looking a little better, as that's where they would go. But there is a lot of interesting seating and capacity and everything going along with the upcoming regionals that could potentially be hosted at Tennessee. Well, will likely be hosted.
It's just kind of a drag that we finally had the explosion of full capacity house over the weekend, and obviously that provided a raucous atmosphere. I could tell on television it was much louder than it was at the earlier portions of the season when you had those earlier crowds. So, I mean, like, we all know that that can be the case, and to go back voluntarily because of some weird NCAA ruling seems unfortunate.
There was a – so we talked to Charlie Collier, who's on here in the mornings, but he was one of the students who went, right? So – and I've always been fascinated with how these students are being approached, right, when it comes to the seating things and the ticket capacity. He was basically like, hey, every student who had a ticket, right, they could go in and they found their normal spot. And after that, pretty much just shoved as many as they could out onto that deck. And again, it goes back to what you're saying there. It's going to be really unfortunate if Tennessee is going to kind of get a taste of what this looks like, a taste of what this feels like, or even for the team, a taste of what it's like to play with this kind of environment surrounding you. I believe they said on the broadcast on Friday, I believe this was Rusty Enser who said this, but no Tennessee player has played up to that kind of capacity here at Tennessee, right? Even when it went back, I don't know if they ever sold that much, and I could be wrong on that, but either way, this is a new kind of thing that these players are going through with these home fans, and it will just suck to kind of get the rug pulled out from under them. But hopefully there are ways that Tennessee can go about it and obviously add a little bit more to the bleachers, the grandstands, and hopefully fix that kind of limitation that the NCAA might be giving for these stadiums. Mm.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. The shocking conclusion coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Hot take, cold take, brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control, GP3.
All right, first one for you guys. Tony Vitello is the best coach Tennessee has on their campus right now.
He's the hottest coach right now. I'm not going to say best.
I'll say head coach, too.
I'm going to say cold take. And, I mean, this is just the facts. You go off win-loss record. Yeah. Rick Barnes has been to a Final Four. He's won conference championships. He's put a lot of guys in the pros.
Like 33.
He's been there longer. He's older. He had a longer track record. But I think Tony Vitello is on a trajectory to pass him someday.
This is between Barnes and Vitello. Who's better right now?
Any coach on campus, but it probably comes
I'd say between those two. And I'll kind of play devil's advocate here to Russ because I do agree with him. But, man, Tony Vitello has overdone on his expectations. I feel like he has consistently kept a top 15 level team throughout an entire season, which is very tough to do throughout series and throughout everything that goes into baseball. So I'll say right now, man, I really like what Tony Vitello is doing, and if you're going to keep this Tennessee team in the top 15, top 10 even throughout an entire season for the most part, I'll give you the nod.
Bear,
it's cold. I mean, he's not. I mean, Rick Barnes is just like basically everything Russell said, I agree with.
I mean, you could also make the Weekleys have been to College World Series many times.
It's kind of.
Oh, what about the tennis coach? What about the men's tennis coach? He's an SEC champion.
Chris
right
Woodruff.
Now. Yeah, that guy's good.
But he's on a good trajectory right now for a guy who's only 4 years into his head coaching career.
Need it to be longer.
All right. After Tennessee won on Saturday after they checkered Lindsey Nelson Stadium, the checker gimmick curse is over.
No, it didn't even look right. Just retire it. Just retire it.
According to people at the stadium, they said it looked pretty good.
I thought it looked fine.
I thought it looked good.
I don't believe in curses in any way. So it's a fun thing. It attracts fans to the stadium. Fans get excited about it. I have no problem with checkering Neyland, Thompson Bowling, Lindsey Nelson, anywhere. If Tennessee fans are excited, that is a good thing.
The last 5 days have truly shown me how apparently superstitious our fan base can be, and I am sick of it. I'm done with the superstitions. I think they are stupid myself, and I'm going to say that it looked great, fed off on a great game, great ending. I hope the superstition's gone, including the one with Peyton. Even though we lost that game, did anybody see Peyton out there? The people loved it. That's what you're looking for.
All right, I got two more. First one, out of the last two, aliens are absolutely real.
No, it's a cold take. They're cold. They could be real. They might be real. I don't know. You know, I'm an alien agnostic. You can't say they're absolutely real. It's absurd.
Hot take. Somebody's flying these gizmos around in the sky.
You don't even know if those gizmos exist or not.
They're on United States Navy gun camera film. Something's up there.
We don't know if something's up there. We don't know if they're gunships or gizmos or whatever you call them.
Interdimensional vehicles, Russell.
All right, last one. Max Ferguson's walk-off was more impressive than Evan Russell's grand slam against Vanderbilt.
Oh, man. Wow. Hot take from the pressure of the moment. I think that with the Arkansas series, that means the Vanderbilt series is already in the rearview mirror, right? So you really need a moment where you have to beat a top five team at home. We're talking about the bottom of the ninth inning. We're talking about a full capacity stadium. So many fans roaring in his ears. I'll go with that one for the pressure.
I'm going to go with hot take myself because it's until the next time that we need somebody to step up and hit a game-winning home run. Maybe it's going to be, you know, the stakes keep getting higher. Went from Vanderbilt to the number one team in Arkansas. Might be bigger next time.
Yeah, I'm going to go hot take just because of the circumstances and
the
everything.
Call made it big, too.
And just – it's a walk-off, man. Did I see where we haven't had a walk-off since 2009 – walk-off home run since 2009, we've had three this year.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say we had the one against LSU.
Yeah, we've had three this year after not having one for 12 years, 13 years, I believe.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
That's an incredible stat.
That's it.
All right, that is it for Hot Take, Cold Take. Folks, have you seen the weather forecast this week?
Oh, it's getting hot.
We were supposed to end the week in the upper 80s. It is going to be warm weather here and probably warm weather here to stay for the rest of the summer. It's going to be a long, hot summer, and you want to make sure your air conditioning unit is functioning in tip-top shape. If you have any concern about that at all, now is the time to address that. Don't wait. Call our friends at Blue Water Climate Control, 865-299-2290. That's 865-299-2290. Call the guys who do it the right way the first time. That's Blue Water Climate Control. They're online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. A couple of quick hitters on our way out the door. The arbitrator presiding over the Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder rematch dispute ruling today that Wilder is entitled to a third fight with Fury. So we will have Fury-Wilder 3.
So Deontay really wants to get his ass whipped again.
I don't know, man. I don't know. They say that he's been working hard in the gym.
He can work hard as he wants to. He was given the first fight.
The second fight was more of a fluke.
The first one was a draw.
The second
wasn't it?
Fight wasn't a fluke.
It was because
Tyson Fury.
No,
he busted his eardrum
and
like,
yeah.
I
his equilibrium.
I get that. I mean, that's part of the fight, yeah. But he wasn't. His equilibrium was all off.
Well, I got you, but that's just never helped Wilder.
They
helped
have
Wilder
been,
with me.
He's always been a wild brawler, right? Throws wild punch. They say that he's jabbing now. He's ducking and weaving. He's boxing like Tyson Fury. He's learning how to box. So I'm here for it. I think that's the fight fans want to see. The winner gets Anthony Joshua. I think that would be best for boxing. Meanwhile, did you see the Boston news crew that spotted and saved a stolen dog during a segment on the missing pet?
No.
This is absolutely incredible. So there was this guy had his beautiful, beloved dog taken out of his car. He had his car was parked somewhere. He had his dog in the car. Somebody comes up, opens up the door, and takes the dog. And they had some, you know, grainy footage of it from a street camera or something. They saw this guy walking off with the dog. News team gets a hold of the footage. They want to do a story on it. So this woman, newscaster and her cameraman go out to do a scene. They're shooting a stand-up in the parking lot where the dog was taken. When all of a sudden, a guy walks through the parking lot with the dog on a leash.
Whoa.
And they capture this on camera. The woman's
kind of
like,
dog was?
Start rolling. I don't know. It's a nice-looking dog. And she says, start rolling. It's a German short-haired pointer. And they start rolling, and she's like, where did you get this dog? And he's like, I found it in a car. I thought that it was just a big mistake. He really sketchy story. Didn't look like a sketchy dude, but it was definitely a sketchy story. It was definitely the guy in the video, and it was definitely a stolen dog. And so
wow.
she calls the police. The guy's standing right there, and she says, hi, this is so-and-so from whatever news channel, and we're doing a story on this missing dog, and we actually found the dog right here. 2 minutes later, police roll up on the scene. They call the owner. He comes down, gets his dog. They have a tearful reunion. He's so happy to get his dog back, and they arrest the dude.
They should. Dog napper.
Think about what's – first of all, to steal a dog out of a car.
Right.
Pretty dumb. And then you're going to keep the dog for yourself and walk it through the parking lot that you stole it from?
Return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
And people are just
stupid.
Great point.
Never do that.
But then again, I think you take that into account when you're getting your dog. You know, it would have never happened if that were a Rottweiler or a Pitbull.
All right. I also have a story about a $26 million lottery ticket that went in the wash.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Gates being a total creeper. But I think the story Rick has is better. I can't deprive you of this one. Go ahead, Rick.
So I just wanted to throw this in here because we're talking about dogs. Here's another good dog story. Here's the question. What would you do... You listening to this right now, what would you do to save your dog? Would you do what this Florida man did? You go over to Holiday, Florida, where a man and his dog are both recovering after an alligator grabbed his beloved pet during a walk this week, and then he jumped into the action to fight the creature off. Mike McCoy said that he was on a walk with his dog.
I saw this.
The alligator went after the dog, basically grabbed it, and I believe took it underwater. The man, to get the dog back, took his thumb and just jammed it into the alligator's eye socket.
Yeah. You got to.
That's
and
right
look,
there.
He got bit in the process. Both the dog and the man, they took some chomps.
How
along
big is
the way.
This gator?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a juvenile.
It was like a little happy gator.
Seven feet long.
That ain't no juvenile gator bear.
That's a big boy.
Oh, my Lord.
He like grabbed it and started prying its mouth apart, right? It's like a little beagle looking dog, right? Unless this happened twice.
It looks
twice.
Like a chocolate lab to me.
That dog looks freaked out, though, doesn't
would
it?
Would you jump in after your dog? 7-foot alligator.
I would want to find a stick before I used my hand. Like, that's the only thing.
I wouldn't take my dog anywhere around.
You're in Florida. They're everywhere.
Well, you ahead. Notice that I don't go to Florida.
Man, I was in.
And I certainly wouldn't go with the dog.
So I was out walking around this area that we stayed at, North Carolina, Sunset Beach, over the weekend. As I was coming back from my walk, I walked past this, and there's like this swampland over where we're staying, and it had the sign said, please don't feed the wildlife, and then the sign next to it said, beware of alligators.
Yeah, it's over in the Cape Fear region, isn't
I'm like, are you going to be, hey, somebody out there sees an alligator, oh, let's give it some bread.
There's also usually that part of North Carolina is like notorious for being infested with water moccasins.
Hey, this guy who saved his dog too, a young 62 years old.
Oh my Lord!
A very
what
young
a man.
And, yeah, serious. He what said he man. Didn't even think twice about going after the gator.
Talk about guys posting their W's.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Go hey, on,
that's
King.
That's still not as good as the uncle who waded into the surf when his nephew. Got bit by a shark, took his arm off. He got his nephew up on the beach, and then he went back in the water, wrestled the shark up on the land, and got his nephew's arm back, and they were able to sew it back on. Y'all don't remember that story?
No.
No, that's insane, though.
I think if it's a person, I think you have to go in. If it's your dog and he didn't go in, that's – I get it, man. I'm not going to call the guy a coward. But if you see a human being,
you have to.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to go, especially if you're a man. Like, not to be sexist up here, but I feel like you don't want to be the guy going through the rest of your life They say, oh, I saw an alligator attack. It took my child right from out in front of me. Well, what did you do? Nothing.
Bury a knife in its eye.
He said it was a parental instinct with the dog, though. So kind of in the same light.
That's pretty cool, man. I love it. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, GP3. Thank you, Bear. That's going to do it. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.